like that Eric Rohn. I'm a big fan.
He's a nice man. Smells like the sea.
All right, I haven't gotten that close to him. Where do things come from in your head?
I just get a very maritime aroma from Eric. I don't know if it's intentional. I'm a fan. I'm a fan of his work, and I'm a fan of his aroma.
God! Does he smell like the old Spice Man? You know, it's kind of a travesty that there are so many different flavors of Old Spice. There shouldn't... Have you seen the Old Spice deodorant?
Well, there's original, obviously, which smells like everybody's uncle.
Yeah, or grandpa, I would
or
say.
Or grandfather.
My grandpa wore Old Spice.
If I'm going for grandpa smell, I go Vitalis.
When do you go for grandpa smell?
Somebody said to me, we have an emergency. We need this room to smell like everybody's grandfather. I would get a bunch of Vitalis and just sprinkle it around. Uncle, I would go Old Spice, probably. And I'm trying to think of what else other than those.
Well, Old Spice deodorant.
Yes.
They have scents that include Bear Glove, Wolf Thorn, Hawk Ridge, Fox Crest, Lion Pride, Crockengard. That's what I think Dylan wears.
Wow.
The Fresher Collection... That was the Wild Collection, by the way.
Yeah.
The Fresher Collection includes scents like Timber, Fiji, Denali, Amber, Citron, Wilderness, Relax, and Tundra Cooling. I think Michael does the Citron.
I didn't know there were that many varieties.
That's what I'm telling you.
There's a lot.
And then the Red Zone Collection.
For your athletes.
Pure Sport, Swagger. Oh, Dylan uses Swagger. Mm-hmm. Aqua Reef, After Hours, Champion, and Live Wire.
Mm.
I spend 20 minutes at the store taking off the lids trying to sniff it.
See, the problem is, even though those names conjure up an image of cool and tough and stuff like that, the words don't really tell you what the aroma is, do they? They don't even come close.
No, but then you can look it up. Like, for instance, what does Old Spice Denali smell like? Fresh spices, rosemary and lavender mixed with base notes of creamy vanilla, rich amber, and sandalwood. Denali smells like wilderness, open air, and freedom.
Mm.
I want the one that smells like Eric Rohn.
Yeah, there is a flavor just says ER, Eric Rohn. That's the one for me. Did you ever smell Axe?
I thought you were going to ask me a different question, and I...
Wendy.
I'm embarrassed for you.
Gutter Shutter is sponsoring this because your mind is in the gutter.
Surprisingly, my kids do not wear Axe, but I have smelled people that wear Axe.
That's the official deodorant and
body wash and body spray
of 16-year-olds everywhere.
Yeah, thankfully my kids have not gotten into it. They just smell like deodorant.
That's the way you want your kids to smell.
Actually, I've tried to get them into a scent. Michael's going to be 20 next month, and I said, you know, maybe you should wear a little something.
Mm-hmm.
And
nothing too much, just something subtle.
And, you know, here's the problem with, I'm not a man, but I'm
hold on a second. Hold on. Pen and paper. Go ahead.
You think that's really funny, don't you? Glad you crack yourself up so
Wendy,
much, Lef.
Not a man. Keep going. I'm listening.
I know you hate when people call you by your last name, Lef.
Go ahead.
I sympathize with you guys because...
Yes.
We kind of know a perfume that we like, and we spray it on, and then we continue shopping because you need to see how it works with your own body chemistry.
Yes.
A guy is not going to go spray some on, shop for another couple hours, have lunch, and go, oh, I like this.
No.
You may do it one day,
right?
But if you don't like that particular scent, then you got to do it again another day.
I want to see video of you teaching the boys to take the atomizer and spray it into the air and then to just walk through that.
I've never done that. Jim totally does that. Is that a guy thing?
That?
Oh, he totally does that. I said, just put a little behind your ears and on your wrist. That's it.
It's not a guy thing at all. If anyone, it's a girl thing. I've never seen a guy do that.
Every guy I know that wears cologne, spray cologne, does that.
And walks through it?
Yeah, because they don't.
Like it's a
See,
car wash.
Women like to just put a ton of it on. Like I put it behind my ears, my wrists, in between the girls, and sometimes just spray it on me.
Like Earl Scheib?
Kind of. Just little squirts here and there. Maybe 6 to 8 squirts.
Wow. That's a bunch.
I don't wear a perfume. I wear an eau de toilette, so it loses its scent kind of quickly. And I mean, maybe somebody could tell me differently, but I don't feel like mine is very annoying. It's just kind of a fresh scent.
Mm-hmm. But you don't think that's a lot? That seems like a bunch to put on, doesn't
it? It's eau de toilette, though. Perfume and a very strong perfume, that would be a ton.
Am I translating this properly? Because you speak French and I do not.
Toilet water.
It means toilet water.
Yes.
Is that good?
Well, it's not really from the toilet, Bill.
No, but the name kind of implies that it's in the region of the toilet.
No, it's just water. It's just watered-down perfume.
Couldn't we do without the word toilet in that equation?
That's a really good question, actually.
I would leave, if I had a perfume company, here I go dreaming again, I would leave the word toilet out of my product 100% of the time.
312-235-2525. If you're a man and you wear a spray cologne, will you tell me if you spray it and walk through it? Because there are 6 people I know that wear it.
Although they all do that?
Jim does not wear it. Like, he used to wear it every day. Now it's like, if we're going somewhere, he'll put it on. Maybe not even. He got out of the habit.
You were kind enough to get me, I like the scent of lime. And you got me this lime cologne, which I had been thinking about for a long time. I had seen it
and never
tried it.
And I told you about it, and you never got it.
No, I got it, and I put it on, and you know what my wife said? My wife didn't know that I got it from you as a gift. I just thought, I'm just going to surprise her because I never wear cologne.
She didn't like it.
She said, and I quote, "Were you working at a lemonade stand today?" That's what she said.
Did you like it, though?
I liked it, but then once she said that to me,
you couldn't
get past
that. I became self-conscious that
everybody I was coming in contact with thought I was working at a lemonade stand. And the quick answer to that is yes, I do have a side job at a lemonade stand, but I don't need to.
Well, you should return it because it's pretty expensive not wear it.
When she's not around now, I put it on.
When is that?
Every once in a while, she goes off and does stuff, and I'm like, well, now's my chance, to put on some nice cologne. But
I think it smells like really fresh,
but it's
not like. I don't.
Royal Lime, it's called.
Yeah.
It's for the royals. The royals use it.
Is that why you liked
it? The king uses it, the princes, the jacks. They all use it. Now I use it.
The jackasses.
Right. It's full circle.
I like Jim wears Chanel Ego East, and I like that.
I've never heard of that.
It's clean and crisp, so the boys have been wearing it. Like, if they have a special occasion, which is, like, I don't know, once every 5 years.
Yeah.
I'll say, Dad says spray it and walk through it just so a little gets on you. Jim doesn't want to be that guy who, like, you'll go...
Guess who's coming.
Right. Yeah. Or you'll shake somebody's hand and then you smell like them. Or, God love him, there was a guy who worked here, and I was like, hey, how's it going? You give him a hug and then, like, all day I'm smelling like Axe or whatever he wore.
Yeah.
That's bad. And the worst thing is when you go to the drive-thru and you get your McDouble and your French fries and your McDouble wrapper and your fry wrapper smells like somebody's cologne.
Oh.
They should not be allowed to wear cologne at a fast food restaurant.
Right. I don't think they would sell me. I'm not going to buy Axe, but I think if I went to Walgreens and bought, they wouldn't sell it to me.
They'd
be like reverse.
You.
Yeah.
Yeah. They'd make sure you had an elementary school ID.
Can I see some ID, sir? Show me ID.
School ID.
You're not of the age to buy this. It's for a friend. I'd have to get some kid. I'd have to hang out in the parking lot and get some kid to buy it for me. It's the only way I could possibly buy Axe.
I got to find some kind of nice beginner cologne. Do you remember the first cologne? Was it Polo?
Polo was not the first cologne I ever wore, but it was the one I wore the longest. So I started wearing that, I think, my senior year in high school.
That's a nice scent.
All through college. I like it. But then once Terry and I started dating, she's like, I don't think you need the cologne. And I wasn't overdoing it.
That is a very nice way of saying, I don't like how that smells.
Now that I think about it, that's exactly what it was.
Because if she liked it, she would be like, oh my God, what is that wild scent you're wearing? I love it.
Right. I did not hear any of that. What I heard was, I think you could probably do without this. And I just went, all right. And I had a bunch of it because people knew I wore it, so I would get it
Christmas
as a gift.
So birthdays.
There's still a closet somewhere that I have 3 or 4 bottles of it. And then there was also some cologne I had.
Dracard Noir?
No.
Jim wore that for a little while.
I'll tell you what the color of the bottle was. I don't remember the brand. It was not Polo, though. It was like in a bottle that looked like vanilla. It was like a white vanilla-looking bottle.
CK1? Calvin Klein?
Oh, I bet that's what it was. It was a silvery bottle, and on the cap there was a ring or two that had a silver ring to it. I don't remember what the name, but CK1 could be right. It could be Calvin Klein. But that one was a little more distinctive than the Polo.
Let me see. And CK1, is that it?
That's it. That's absolutely it.
Can you believe I just guessed that?
That was very impressive.
CK1, Calvin Klein, and it's a unisex cologne. So I have a friend, Sue, who used to wear that.
Oh, she did?
Yeah. And I know men that wear it, and it smells completely different on everybody. Yeah, it's their CK1. That's why it's called one, because it's for everyone.
Wow. I didn't know any of that.
Did Terry like that, or did she say, I think it's time you stop wearing that as well?
That one had already been phased out by the time I met Terry. So by the time I met Terry, I was just using lava soap.
At least you were able to exfoliate, because boy, we had that in the basement in the wash tubs, and I just remember if you'd be painting or something, and you had paint or something, or grease on your hand, that's the only thing that would work, and it hurt like hell.
Yeah, it was a little abrasive.
Yeah.
Right. But, you know, part of being a guy, Wendy, you give in a little bit to
I'm
that.
Not a guy.
Oh, you're not. Hold on a second. I took some notes. You're right. It says here, clearly, you are not. So I dedact my statement.
We need to book a perfumerist.
Yes.
I can't say it.
We've not had a perfumerist on the show yet.
Jasmine, I would like someone to... are you willing to be reintroduced into cologne, or you just don't want to wear
it? No, I think I will wear the Royal Lime that you got me on special occasions. Or
when
if
Terry's
I ever do,
not there.
When Terry's not around, because she, you know...
I told
that's
you may not like it.
That's the only person I have to please. No, I do like it.
But
I do.
But if she doesn't like it, then you don't like it. And that makes sense.
But I could wear it on times when she and I are not doing something. Like when I play tennis, I could wear it. And that will distract my opponent. You smell delicious. What is that?
I want to peel you. Right. You smell like a lime.
I've had that happen a couple times. Yeah. So that worked out. That's fine. There was a girl I dated who had a tray, an oval-shaped tray, and she must have had 25 or 30 different kinds of perfume.
A lot of women had that.
But why would you need that many? Like, wouldn't you zero in on a couple that you liked?
A lot of people like to try something different. Jasmine, do you wear a signature scent every day?
No, allergic to it.
Oh, are you?
Oh, so you don't wear any
perfumes?
I just don't like it at all.
Oh.
I don't blame you. Oh. I like to try different things, and once I find it, I pretty much stick to it for many years until all of a sudden I feel I need a change.
Yeah.
I'm Narciso Rodriguez right now.
He plays for the Padres.
And he makes a fine perfume.
He's hitting 318. Narciso Rodriguez.
That's what I'm wearing now. I used to wear Giorgio Red.
Oh.
I used to wear as...
That sounds dangerous.
Kim Gordon mentioned this, too. A lot of girls started out with Ralph Lauren, the original Lauren.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or Lauren. I don't know how he says. I think it's Lauren. Ralph Lauren. My tongue went all weird.
You're not supposed to be drinking the cologne. You're just supposed to be spraying it on yourself.
But that's a... I would like to know, like, the best place to start for a young man. Gail has a perfume story for us.
Oh.
No, I don't.
Oh, I'm sorry. You have a...
No. Bill mentioned Earl Scheib. Before he was talking about perfume.
Yes.
Right.
Remember
he said I sprayed
Earl Scheib?
It on. Yes.
Okay.
That's why you said that.
Yeah, that's why I'm bringing up Earl Scheib. Sorry, I didn't mean to...
You're fine. What's your funny story about Earl Scheib?
Okay, I had my 1968 that I got from my grandpa. It was a puke green. Mm. So I decided I'm going to get it painted yellow. So I went to Earl Scheib on Ogden Avenue in Glen Ellen.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I am going to be so cool. I'm going to paint this bright yellow, and because, you know, it's close to green, so it would cover it. And I added a simulated vinyl top.
Nice.
Oh, nice. That's pretty cool.
Hey, am I cool? Yes, I am.
Excellent. Did it look nice? I bet it did.
Oh, yeah. So I went up and I said, are you done? And they said, yes, you are. And your car is right across the street by the Jewel. So I said, okay, here's your, I think at the time it was $50.
Yeah.
Because they were really cheap. And so here's your keys, here's $50. Oh man, at that time I said, what a deal. But you know, I'm a college student, you know, that's all I can afford. Went across the street, turned it on, they put my windshield wipers upside down.
Oh no.
And it went whoop, across the hood.
Oh no.
Oh, and wrecked your paint job.
It moved my paint.
Oh man,
that's the worst.
Oh, that's the worst, because, you know, I had this beautiful new paint job.
Gail, that's
and
horrible.
Then,
yeah.
And a few months later, my simulated vinyl top started peeling.
Oh.
It's only 60-some bucks.
You get what you pay for.
Yeah, but I'm a young college student working for Jewel. I don't have that kind of money. So I had to, so it started turning green and flaking my simulated cool vinyl top. Oh my gosh.
Gail, that's horrible. What?
My bottom line?
Yeah.
I'm still cool.
You sound like
awesome.
You are. Thank you, Gail.
Right. Thank you.
Have a great day. That was Gail. Do you remember the Earl Scheib tagline, Wendy?
It was only $99, wasn't it?
I'm Earl Scheib, and I'll paint any car, any color for $99.95. No ups, no extras.
Was it $99.99?
You know, over the years, it changed. Because it started out, it was like $29.95, and then it became $49.95, and then $99.95 or $99. They just kept upping the price. But no ups, whatever ups are, I guess upgrades.
Yeah.
No extras.
Upcharges.
Yeah.
That's what it would be.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, in a marketplace, he was always the lowest priced, but as Gail just pointed out, sometimes it didn't go well. Because his process was, you went into a room and they just sprayed paint from all directions.
Right, it was like a spray
car wash.
Tan.
Yeah, like a spray tan.
For humans.
Right, exactly.
All right, we need to take a break, and then I want to tell you that a Guinness Book of World Record was broken today, and it's silly, and it's brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men. We're going to do What's Hot, What's Cold, and that's coming up after Kim's News, which is next. I like it.
Yeah, it's very nice outside. Wendy, a quick correction by way of the text line.
Yes.
This is from 847. Kim, we were talking about various colognes and perfumes.
Mm-hmm.
And Wendy mentioned one that has the words eau de toilette on it. And I said that if I had a perfume company, I don't. But if I did, I would avoid using the word toilet.
It's eau de toilette.
Toilette.
Eau de toilette.
Right.
Water of the toilet.
Water of the toilet. I don't know. You can come up with a better term. But they say, 4-7 says, toilette means your bath or your ablutions, not just your potty.
Well, in French...
What is an ablution? Is that a word I should know?
Is it a nationality?
I agree.
An ablution?
I give credit to a person for using the word both ablution and potty in the same sentence.
Yeah.
ablutions. Toilette means your bath or your ablutions.
The act of washing oneself.
Oh, all right.
Ablution.
Of course.
But the French called the bathroom the water closet or
the WC.
WC.
Yeah.
Is how they say it.
That's British too, WC.
Water closet.
The loo.
Yeah, I never heard the British say WC.
Oh, yeah. It's big.
Who says lavatory besides flight attendants?
Just flight attendants. That's the only time.
The lab. The lab,
yeah.
Right.
All right, well, whatever. It's eau de toilette because it's perfume water. It's like watered down, so it's not as expensive.
Right.
But the perfume version of my perfume, I don't like. It's a little bit different. It's like the eau de toilette and the perfume of Narciso Rodriguez, Parfum for her.
Mm-hmm.
Smells very different in the perfume version, and the old Eau de Toilette smells better to me. It just doesn't last as long. No, it just has a completely different smell, and I find that shocking.
Because the perfume I use is just perfume. I don't have
it. Just says perfume on it. There's nothing in French.
I have the perfume. I've smelled the perfume version, but I don't like it as well as the Eau de Toilette. It smells honestly completely different.
Several people want to know why we have not mentioned English leather in any way, shape, or form today, and we haven't. We will eventually. What? No, that was
Old Spice.
Old Spice. Yeah, that's Old Spice. What was the one?
Was that Irish Spring?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, that's Old Spice. I don't know. Irish Spring was just a soap. They didn't make any kind of cologne.
But didn't the guy whistle? That's where I was going.
For Irish Spring?
I thought he whistled with Irish Spring.
Yeah, I think so.
You're a strong man, Kevin. Am I too strong? That was the commercial for Irish Spring.
Manly, yes, but I like it too.
Right. What was the cologne and perfume? The same company made a men's cologne and women's perfume where the bottles fit together. Do you remember that?
Yes.
You could put the bottles together.
We're not having to go back through this, are we, with the globes?
No, I'm not going to bring up the flag.
Okay. I think it was Jovan, man and woman.
Jovan,
man and woman.
I think you're right. Jovan, right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Jovan. They also made the musk oil.
Don't you think that Prince Harry and Meghan Markle should name their young, if it's a boy,
Jovan?
They should name him Prince Machiavelli. Wouldn't that be cool?
That's not good.
I think they should do that.
Woman and Man by Jovan Vintage.
And the bottles fit together.
Yeah.
That's hot.
Let's see when it came out, because that's when Bill thought it was hot.
Imagine that meeting. At their corporate headquarters. You know what people want? They want their bottles to fit together. We got to do that. Great idea.
It was a great idea. Do you remember it? I have a picture
kinda.
Of it, but you have to come over here. I can't turn it around.
So it was rounded at the bottom and at the top. No, one of them was rounded, and then it just they just fit
the
nicely.
Woman, I believe, is on the left.
Oh, yes, I do.
And has the two humps, and the man has the one hump, and they fit together like a jigsaw puzzle.
Yes, they do.
It's very Picasso-ish.
Isn't
it is,
it? Yeah.
Yes.
That's when Pablo Picasso was inventing cologne bottles. He had a downside in his career. What are you up to, Pablo?
Just perfume.
No more art. I'm just working on perfume bottles now.
All right. I've been leaving people in suspense long enough, and I want to say what the Guinness World Record was broken. It's so
this is
kind
exciting
of
news.
Stupid. A North Carolina man has set a new world record. He collected 228 four-leaf clovers in just under 2 hours.
Wow.
Now, have you
collected
guys,
meaning found them?
Yes.
In 4 hours? What kind of field was he in?
I don't know. He said he originally set out to beat the record for most four-leaf clovers collected in 1 hour.
Which was what?
It was set at 166 by 10-year-old Katie Borka last year in Virginia.
She's legendary, Wendy. In the four-leaf clover game, the name Katie, all you have to say is Katie, and people go, oh, yeah, she's the best.
Of the Virginia Borkas, yes.
Yeah, yep.
But he decided to switch to the 8-hour version of the record. Guinness, which does not currently have a record holder for the most four-leaf clovers collected in 8 hours, set the minimum for Reisman's attempt at 200 and easily beat that by collecting 228 clovers in only 1 hour and 50 minutes. He was inspired to attempt the record when he went walking with his fiancée's daughter, Sophia, and the two of them were able to find 25 in about 10 minutes. Have you found a four-leaf clover? Because
I have hard.
I have found maybe
a handful.
Yeah, like maybe four in my whole life.
Yeah.
And This was in Virginia. Oh, this guy was in North Carolina.
Okay.
It should be in Ireland, Kim. Is that what you're thinking?
What I was
it
thinking.
Should definitely be in Irish
Ireland
thing.
Or the UK somewhere, Scotland.
Not Virginia. That's outrageous.
I don't know how it happens.
Have they
know.
Talked to this girl, Katie, whose record was squashed?
No, do you want to talk to her?
I would love to talk to her. She's got to be heartbroken.
Is that what you're going to say to her? That'll be a quick interview.
Are you okay, Katie?
No.
They probably keep this information from her.
And we now know what Johnny B has done. He's part of a bunch of Canadian employees who broke a Guinness World Record by completing 509 high fives in 3 minutes.
Oh.
High five me, Billy.
Woo! Did you ever try to break a Guinness Book of World Record?
No.
You didn't?
Kim, you did.
No, but I was thinking about this every year when they had the book fair at school.
Yeah.
That was the big hot book. Everybody always wanted to buy
the Guinness
Book of World Records book.
Yeah. Because you got the picture of the two chubby guys on the motorcycle next to each other.
The longest mustache.
Yeah. Chang and Ang Bunker were always in
the
there.
The oldest people.
Right. And you always had the picture of the really, really tall man standing next to the really, really short woman.
It's kind of like a circus in a book.
Yeah. It was. That's exactly what it was. It was a circus in a book. That was excellent.
What did
you try? Still remember the two guys on the motorcycle. They were wearing like cowboy type outfits, but you only saw them from the back. They were riding away, but they were both very big gentlemen.
Well, there was also like the world's fattest person in there.
Yeah, yeah, they had that.
And the skinniest guy.
Yeah.
He was very skeletal looking.
Yeah. Yeah.
Something was wrong with him. Yeah. Yeah, that was always such a great book. I wonder if kids still, because like you said, it was the bestseller every
year.
Now you
probably just go online.
It's easy to find online.
Right. Do they even sell
books? It ruins it. Yeah, there's still, like the book club we had at our school, you would order the book like 3 or 4 weeks into the school year. And
then
the books
came. Oh, you get the
flyer. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Oh, Scholastic. When you, right, yes, yeah.
The Scholastic
they
book
had that,
orders.
And then they also had like around Christmas time, they'd have an actual book fair.
Yeah.
Oh. It was set up like the library got set up like a store.
Now, this is when you were a kid?
Well, no, my kids. And okay. Also, but I also.
Because we didn't have book fairs when
book
I
fair
was.
Too. Oh. No, I did. But we also did Scholastic. And the. We also did the Scholastic books.
I felt bad. My kids would bring home that little newspaper flyer.
Yeah,
and, you
it's
know,
like 8 or 10 pages.
Yeah, it was like wimpy kid books were really right. popular then. And it's like, Mom, can I get it? And I'm like, they're like $100 more here than
are
if
they
we,
that much more?
It's well, because the school gets a bit of a profit, I think, for how much you sell.
I just remember the time element from the time you ordered it till you'd order it at the beginning of the year and they'd arrive, you know, when there was 10 minutes left.
Their interest would probably change by the
completely
time the book
different.
Came.
Completely different.
But the book fair was pretty great because they had new copies of new books. And a lot of times I'd buy stuff for Jim because they had like an R2-D2 pop-up book or something for, you know, like for a little brother or a husband.
Or a husband. Yes.
But the book fairs, we didn't have when I was a kid, but they were really fun going at night to the school library and they'd have all, it was really nice.
It was fun. I used to love to work the book fair.
That's a good time.
Yeah.
And those are all new books, right?
They're
not used
all brand
books.
New, yeah.
Was there some in-house, like I remember in our, when we would get that 10-page leaflet that showed all the different books, there was a magazine that I want to say was called Bananas with a Z at the end. Does that sound right?
For you liking
and
it,
and it would do profiles of people like, all right, so at the time we were in fifth or sixth or seventh grade, so it was people you should like. It was like baseball players.
Oh, I remember Weekly Readers. Do you remember the
Weekly Reader? I do remember.
Yes.
Yeah, that was a separate entity, but yeah, Weekly Reader was good. Because those would still show up if you went to the dentist. They had Weekly Readers in there.
Highlights for children, highlights. Always in your doctor's office.
Yeah.
Did Mad Magazine make Bananas?
No, it was a separate. It was separate.
All right, because I can't.
I'm still working on Goofus and Gallant, the movie.
I was just going to talk about Goofus and Gallant.
Were the best. Nobody turned that into a movie?
Nobody's picked that up.
Now, someone told me as I got older and as I called it Goofus and Gallant all the time. And
someone
I gotta
said
be honest,
Gallant?
Yes, they said that's how you pronounce Gallant.
It's Goofus and Gallant.
Oh, come on.
I think it's either
Why would you name your kids Goofus and Gallant?
French. Well, no wonder Goofus had an issue.
Yeah.
They named him Goofus. He was destined to be a bad boy. His face, remember, his face was always dirty.
I
kind of
liked him better.
Gallant.
Doofus.
Gallant.
Gallant.
Gallant. Thank you, Eric.
Gallant.
Is that Eric Rung?
Gallant.
He smells
Gallant.
Like the sea.
Let me take a sniff.
Gallant. Yeah, that is Eric Rung. Smells like the sea.
I never heard it say Gallant.
No, Goofus and Gallant.
But not, it was Gallant, is it where I've heard other people say it?
Gallant.
No, it isn't, Eric Rung.
Why was his face always dirty in every cartoon whenever they showed the brothers doing
because
something?
Because he didn't take a bath. He was not a good kid.
He was a bad kid.
And that's why I liked him better. I felt sorry for him.
Really? You sided
that's
with
That's why I dated almost every guy Goofus? In high school who was much more like Goofus than Gallant. Sorry if any of you are listening.
Were they brothers or friends? They were brothers.
They were brothers.
Yeah. Twins or not twins?
I think they looked like twins.
Oh,
yeah,
maybe.
I think so.
I can't. I gotta find out more about Goofus.
I can
just see the dirty face. He always looked so unhappy, and his face was dirty. And his brother was out.
You could always tell. You know, his mom didn't like him.
Right.
Yeah, he was always sad. For over 60 years, the pre-adolescent readers of Highlights for Children magazine have gotten regular lessons in morality from Goofus and Gallant.
Yep.
A pair of kids of indeterminate age and relation.
I'd say they were about.
That's true. We don't determine age and relation. That's a good way to put it.
Who offers sharp contrast in behavior. Gallant is prone to exhibiting perfect manners.
Yes.
Doofus is selfish, thoughtless, and has even been seen torturing small animals.
Oh, that's what they would say. They would say, it would be like, while Gallant helps elderly people cross the street, Doofus bites the head off a chicken. They just show him with his dirty face.
The two-panel strip has become so ubiquitous that warring ideologies are often described as Goofus and Gallant types. If you've ever wondered whether there's more to Gallant than being a goody two-shoes or whether Goofus is flirting with juvenile delinquency, check out the roundup of the pair's storied history. All right, this is interesting from mentalfloss.com. They used to be elves.
They were?
They started as elves. They were the creation of Gary Cleveland Myers, a child.
Gary Myers? Really?
And his friend Cliff.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
Gary Cleveland Myers, a child psychologist and popular syndicated parental advice columnist. Myers debuted the strip, then known as the G-Twins.
Ah,
in Children's Activities magazine in 1938.
Wow.
There's a picture of them as little elves.
Huh.
Yeah.
I wonder when they made the switch.
I thought once an elf, always an elf. That's what I've grown up to believe anyway.
While the twosome were already displaying their radically different approaches to life, Myers depicted them as fanciful creatures with pointed ears and curly-toed shoes. No one is quite sure why Myers opted for the fairy tale aesthetic, although one theory is that he wanted to depict bad behavior rather than bad children.
Well,
that's
you know
typical
how
psychologist.
Are. Yeah, true.
You're acting bad, you're not bad.
Right. You're just an elf.
After Myers and wife Caroline started Highlights for 6 to 12-year-old readers in 1946, they were eventually able to acquire the rights to the strip. Goofus and Gallant debuted in their magazine in 1948. By 1952, they had morphed into two regular kids. Their parents lost the elf ears, too.
Was that overnight, Wendy, or was that gradual?
It says they debuted.
I ask because I have a friend who's an elf.
They said they debuted in the magazine in 48, and by 1952, they were regular kids. So 4 years.
Wow. So, like, with each strip, were they less elfin-looking?
Yes.
They were? Yeah.
Highlights, they may have been based on real kids.
Oh, cool.
Highlights turned into a family enterprise with Myers' children and grandchildren having a hand in its publication. In 1995, Kent Brown Jr., the Myers' grandson, told the L.A. Times that he was the inspiration for Goofus and that his cousin Gary Myers III...
Mm-hmm.
Was the
Gallant.
We got to get this guy on.
Oh, yeah, that
is
would be
still
awesome.
Alive?
Kent Brown Jr., this is 95.
Nah, he's dead.
No, this was a grandson, though.
No, he's alive.
Is Highlights still around?
Yes.
Is it? Yes. Yeah.
That's what they're saying here. One artist drew the strip for 32 years.
Wow. I bet he ran out of gas at some point.
And ink.
At some point, though, after doing the same strip of one boy being good and one boy being bad, don't you just go, I can't do this anymore?
Well, no, but you know what? Things change because now, you know, you put down your phone.
Oh,
you
yeah.
Talk to people.
You update.
Don't pick up your iPad.
Right.
You don't, you know?
Right.
So things change.
Right.
All right. They've been featured in roughly a billion issues with a B.
Oh, my God.
Gallant gets hate mail. While the recruiting,
I can understand.
He just was such a goody-goody.
Who would be angry enough at a cartoon?
I think Gallant was an Eddie Haskell, though.
Yeah.
When you weren't.
I don't.
When the magazine wasn't open, he was a bad boy.
He was doing bad stuff?
But yeah. Goofus always had, like, his eyebrows were always, you know, like, he was always
right.
mad.
Cross. Yeah.
While the recurring theme of Goofus and Gallant is to exercise the golden rule, not all juvenile readers are on board with Gallant's impeccable manners.
Oh.
I got a letter from an attorney who'd grown up. I got a letter from an attorney who had grown up with the feature. Rich Wallace, the magazine's then coordinating editor, told the LA Times in 1995. He had something he wanted to get off his chest, and this is what he wrote. Gallant was a wussy.
Oh, come on.
Other readers expressed similar disdain for Gallant, observing that they identify more with Goofus. What did I tell you? I liked Goofus better.
Yeah.
Goofus.
You wanted to date him, though. This is different.
I wanted to be him.
Gallant was a little too perfect, you know?
Yeah.
He, you learn from your mistakes. So you're going to learn more from Goofus than you would from Gallant.
But don't you think, Kim, that the underlying message, the secret message is you have to find something in the middle.
Right.
That you shouldn't be Goofus or Gallant. You should be somewhere in the middle of those two fellas, those two elfin fellas.
Here's one more thing. Goofus is not a sociopath. In the absence of any in-panel clinical diagnosis of Goofus's reckless behavior, including but not limited to playing with fire, being unkind to peers, and vandalizing school books, we're left with the editorial directives of highlights. In a 1993 interview with the Chicago Tribune magazine, publicist Tom White admitted that Goofus, quote, is a surly, uncooperative, ill-mannered child, but that he is not a sociopath.
Well, we only saw him at his lowest.
Right.
We don't know what was going on.
I'm sure he did plenty of good.
When he wasn't on the highlights pages.
It didn't sell highlights if he was good.
Right.
Right.
Bill, you'll be happy to know. You wondered if they were related.
I'm going twin brothers.
When Goofus and Gallant began their broadly drawn moral plays in the 1950s, they were depicted as identical twins.
Oh, they were.
Oh, there you go.
Later,
that's what we were going to... We didn't know when we were pregnant with the twins. We didn't know if they were boys or girls. And I wanted, if they were boys, for them to be named Goofus and Gallant.
Got voted down. I'm shocked.
I am too.
Later on, editors for highlights indicated the two were brothers, but not twins. By 1995, they were simply two unrelated boys. They morphed.
Yeah, but you would assume they were twins because most twins, you know, both of their names started with a G.
Right. You're right.
And then...
And the evil twin concept plays out. Every twin is an evil twin.
But then after they went from twins to brothers to unrelated boys, former coordinating editor Rich Wallace said the two might actually be part of a Fight Club-style twist.
Oh.
I've theorized they're two sides of the same kid.
Oh.
That is deep.
Brilliant.
Ooh.
That could seriously be, yes. So they are Tyler Darden.
Is that who
That's
it
the guy
was?
Brad Pitt was in Fight Club. Yeah.
Wow.
That's fantastic.
Little did I know when I'm sitting in my pediatrician's office looking at highlights of children.
What a great twist that is, if it's true. We don't know if it's true.
Well, I'm emailing this to myself, and we'll get somebody that has to do with Goofus and Gallant. Because I'm sorry, we all grew up with them.
We did. We need to talk to them.
This is our specialty.
Could you please schedule that when I'm in here?
You want to be in here
really
for that?
Yes. I would love to talk to Goofus
If it's
and
on
Gallant.
The real radio show, which I'd actually rather it be, you can just come in and talk.
Okay, I will.
Yeah. But I think... If the mom and dad name him something that's not Goofus.
Gigi and Gordon?
Yeah.
Is that the parents?
Yeah.
Gigi and Gordon?
Gigi and Gordon. If they have...
No relation to me.
No relation. If they don't name him Goofus, if they just name him, you know, Rich, I think he's a better kid. I don't think he takes this awful turn, I think. It's all in the name.
That's weird.
That's it. All right, Kim, thank you very much for hanging out. We appreciate it. We'll come back in just a moment and say goodbye.
Was that Goofus or Gallant?
You were right in the middle.
Okay, thank you.
You were right on the 50-yard line.
So who would that be? Gooflant? Goofus and Gallant. Gooflant.
Yeah.
Galoofus.
Yes. We'll figure it out.
Just go Doofus.
Right. All right. Well, what'd she call you, Bill?
That should have been their names, Goofus and Doofus. All right. We'll say goodbye next.
All right, that is all she wrote. We'll learn more about Goofus and Gallant.
We didn't even cast, like, if there was going to be a Goofus and Gallant movie, who would play Goofus and who would play Gallant. We'll do that in the future. We're out of time. There's nothing we can do about it. All right, thanks, everybody, for listening. Tomorrow, another attempt to entertain and enlighten.
Is that what we do?
Yeah. Never at the same time.
Okay.
We switch off. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.